Welcome back to Glitchcast, episode number 26. This week, we had a bit of a problem. My fault, entirely. So, we had told you last week that we were going to see Life of the Party, or I Feel Pretty, or maybe both.
Which, technically, we did see both.
We did see both. Unfortunately, about midweek, we had decided on we were going to see Life of the Party and not I Feel Pretty. My dumb brain did not remember that fact as I went to the movie theater and saw I Feel Pretty instead. And then did not realize it until the next morning when I looked at our Slack channel. And at that point, it was just like, I guess I can go see
And it. I saw Life of the Party, and I was like, we cannot allow ourselves to waste 8 collective hours between our brains. I will not allow you to go see Life of the Party. Let's just rattle off what we liked and didn't like. Because Life of the Party wasn't good, and how'd you like I Feel Pretty?
We'll get to
okay.
that.
Okay.
All right, so we'll do news. A lot of TV cancellation news this week, and some renewal news in a way.
And some shows kind of on life support that, like, they're canceled, but they might come back.
A couple interesting trailers, and then we'll do our quick rundowns of Life of the Party and I Feel Pretty. All right, starting out, movie news. A Friday Night Lights movie is in the works with David Gordon Green directing. He directed Pineapple Express. He's directing the upcoming Halloween movie. He directed Stronger, that Boston Marathon bombing survivor movie with Jake Gyllenhaal from last year. He's a pretty versatile director. I mean, Pineapple Express, hilarious. Stronger, pretty emotional, like, drama.
Is it Danny McBride doing Halloween? Or is he just, like...
He wrote it.
He wrote it. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So this is not related to the show, to the TV show, which was based on...
A movie.
The book.
Wait.
Or based on the movie, which was based on a book.
Wait, so this is not connected to any of those?
This is connected to the book, but I don't think it's more... It's like a reimagining of sorts. I think it's just sort of building on, like, the themes from the book and the movie, but there's no reoccurring characters. There's no tie-ins to the show. There's a lot of people. There's talk a few years ago that the show was going to get, like, a movie adaptation with, like, all the same cast and characters, but that is not this. It's in no way related to the show. Which, personally, I mean, that kind of hurts. I don't really care, but I mean, I loved the Friday Night Lights show, but I also loved the first Friday Night Lights movie. I'm fine with this. I think like that kind of high school football story, like, where it's like a religion, can work in multiple tellings, especially, like, now that football is kind of, it's not like on a downturn, but it's kind of viewed in a negative light, both
with the player controversy and the CTE and Roger Goodell. Like, it could use some feel goodery.
Yeah, definitely.
I didn't watch the movie or the show, so I feel nothing.
Really?
I feel nothing when this is announced.
Oh, you got to watch the movie at least. The movie's great. Billy Bob.
I think I have seen the movie, actually.
Okay.
Wait.
The show is also fantastic.
Billy Bob, but isn't that Varsity Blues?
Billy Bob Thornton
is
the coach in the movie.
Gotcha.
All right, next up. Will Smith's Bad Boys for Life has been resurrected for a January 2020 release, so this will be the third Bad Boys movie. It's been on and off about whether it's going to happen. First off, one mistake. Why not save Bad Boys for Life for, like, the fourth Bad Boys?
Yeah, Bad Boys Major for mistake. Life.
Yeah.
Or maybe they'll do, like, LYF3 or something? I don't know. They're going to have to try.
Ooh,
that'd be ugly.
That would just be nasty. January 17th, 2020. So that is not a great date, but I mean, it's kind of be what I would be expecting. Currently, it is not Michael Bay for sure back to direct. Joe Carnahan, who I believe directed Smoke and Aces, was attached, and he left in March of last year due to scheduling conflicts, and then it's just been kind of like up in the air in limbo here, and now they finally set a new date, so maybe that dude's coming back. I don't really know. Martin Lawrence will be back. Will Smith will be back. Don't really know if there's any sort of plot behind this yet.
Is there hype around this? Do people want this?
I don't know if people want it, but I don't think that it's something that people will be mad about.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not mad about it. It's the kind of movie that is not weird to come back.
It's like Men in Black 3, except it's been a lot longer. Like, I wasn't super thrilled, but I was like, yeah, whatever. I'm not offended by this. Try and make your money.
Yeah, definitely. I was wrong, actually, by the way. They got a couple Belgian filmmakers on board to direct now, who directed and released the action thriller Gangsta and the first two episodes of the FX series Snowfall.
So quite a portfolio. Okay.
Yeah, really extensive. But I'm excited to see Will Smith back in movies. He just doesn't do anything anymore except for whatever.
Let's see if
Suicide Squad and Bright.
Let's see if the tried and true formula of find directors with little to no portfolio and give them a huge franchise with large stars does again.
It's just make it cheesy action,
right?
And that's how the movie will work.
And explosions, really. And Will Smith with hilarious quips, which isn't the title of the movie. What are we, some sort of bad boys?
Next up, that joke just never gets old. Next up is some Tarantino casting news. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is Quentin Tarantino's upcoming movie. It's probably going to come out next year, like next fall. I guess technically two falls away. This is about the, it's sort of set against the backdrop of the Manson family murders. So Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt are on board. Margot Robbie, officially on board, finally confirming her casting as Sharon Tate, who was famously killed by the Manson family. And then a whole slew of supporting characters. Tim Roth, Michael Madsen, and Burt Reynolds are cast, as well as Timothy Olyphant.
Sounds like a Tarantino movie.
Yep. Apparently, this is like a really good role for Burt Reynolds. There's no specifics or details about the actual roles that they're playing, but apparently the role for Burt Reynolds is pretty good. So everyone's like, it's the Reynolds essence. But I can see Timothy Olyphant playing, like, Charles Manson, to be honest.
Isn't there more than one Manson movie in the works right now?
Yeah, there's two other ones. There's, like, a ghost one or something, I think. Or not a ghost one. Apparently Sharon Tate, like, might have predicted that this was going to happen, or, like, was, like, going crazy and thought it was going to happen. I think that one's in the works. And then there's another one with the dude that played Doctor Who in the works to be Charles Manson.
We're going to get serial killer fatigue here,
I guess. Yeah, we might. I mean, he did just die, so it's hot in the presses, and especially if Tarantino's making a movie about it, people are just gonna be ripping off. Next up, this was the most excited I've ever been, scrolling through Twitter on a tweet that had no words attached to it and just a movie poster. Jordan Peele's new movie had a poster that he released on Twitter last week with the title Us. It was a very, like, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark kind of vibe from, like, how minimalistic and, like, sketchy the poster looked.
Yeah, we tweeted it out. It's on Instagram as well. It's just, like, a Rorschach painting almost, and it was creepy without knowing anything about it.
Yeah, like, two faces in, like, black ink on a white background, but one is kind of, like, smudgy and, like weird. I don't even, like, blurry, I guess, in a way. Yeah. But some casting news with it. Winston Duke, who played M'Baku in Black Panther, Lupita Nyong'o, and Elizabeth Moss, who you will know from Handmaid's Tale, Lupita Nyong'o, was also in Black Panther, was in 12 Years a Slave. Who's she playing in Star Wars? The wide-eyed alien thing?
Yeah. God, what is her name? Forgettable her name, CG character.
But all three are circling the project. I believe Nyong'o is like almost 100% in, and then Elizabeth Moss and Winston Duke are like preliminary talks. There is no details about the plot or like what this is about, other than it's about two couples, one black and one white, and that is it. And it's
what's funny
Us.
Is 3 years ago, Jordan Peele tweets out a poster about a horror movie and no one listens. And like if that's not the case now, this gained a ton of buzz, and all it is a poster with no cast, no plot. It's just like, we are ready for Get Out's follow up.
As a matter of fact, I was as I was sitting in the theater to watch I Feel Pretty, I was on Reddit just scrolling through, and I think this had come out like the night before or something, and there was like 4,000 comments, like all just about this one poster. I was like, Jesus, people going crazy
for it. Academy Award winner, Jordan Peele.
Yeah. Oh, that was a nice little tagline at the top. It was like a new nightmare from the mind of Academy Award winner Jordan Peele. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a little new nightmare from Wes Craven kind of thing. But I like it. I'm so excited. I believe it's March 2019. So it's actually kind of a quick turnaround.
For no cast right now.
For no cast, yeah. I mean, obviously the script is done, but yeah.
I mean, studios love horror because they're usually cheap to produce and make a lot of money. And now they love it even more because you can win Academy Awards from him.
Yeah. I did forget to mention, he is getting a bigger budget this time. I believe it's like five times the size because Get Out only cost $5 million. He's getting $22 million for this one. So.
Nice. Hopefully he doesn't blow it on shoddy CG and he still makes a good film.
I have a feeling there will be no CG.
All right, good. Or like use CG like Fincher uses CG in Zodiac where you literally have no idea because it's so good.
Next up, John Krasinski, another new horror auteur, teases a Quiet Place sequel. Basically, he wants to sort of see the world a little bit more and expand the world a bit. The headline for this article, though, there's another little news story in here. The headline was, John Krasinski teases a Quiet Place sequel, comma, teams with Aaron Sorkin. So you would think that that meant that Aaron Sorkin was writing a Quiet Place sequel.
Yeah, he's teaming up with Aaron Sorkin, right?
Which one is a hilarious thing to think about in a movie where no one should talk, the most talky writer of like all time.
Snappy dialogue is his thing. Yeah. Yeah.
But that was a complete mislead in the title. Basically, he's teaming with Aaron Sorkin on some HBO project called Chateau Marmont. Which is like a famous play, I guess, that they had apparently been talking about doing together for like 7 years.
Wow.
And it just kept falling off the table. But I guess it's on now because Krasinski made a hit. So
the real headline is John Krasinski teases a Quiet Place sequel and John Krasinski teams with Aaron Sorkin for something completely unrelated.
Yes. Got that it. Would be just, a more accurate title.
Just wanted to make sure I got this right.
But I'm happy with that news. Expand the world a little bit. In a Quiet Place.
So will he be attached to direct? Or just oversee?
I believe as of now he wants to direct it and he's attached to direct.
Yeah, for sure. I think we both said at the ending, right for a sequel. So
yeah.
We knew it would come.
Yep. Next up, this is just like my favorite ongoing saga at this point. MoviePass's owner has said that the service is not dying. Contrary to all reports, and has substantial details in 17 months worth of cash on hand. Additionally, there was a little survey, a report that came out that 41% of MoviePass subscribers would pay over double the current price to keep the service alive. So, still
would
not
you?
The majority of subscribers would, pay more, but I would
absolutely
pay $25 for this thing.
Yeah, they should just raise the price, even though I paid for. Maybe they reward me by not raising the price for me, so that gave them money up front and helped their cash flow. But yeah, I mean, new subscribers, at least, just start charging us more, dude. This thing's taken off.
Seriously.
The thing is, like, their stock, it's dying. It's in free fall.
It's at, like, 60 cents right now.
So this guy, he has to say it's not dying. Like, a stock is only as valuable as people think the stock is.
But technically... This report is from like their earnings report or their shareholder meeting. So like, he's technically not supposed to be lying about this to his shareholders.
Yeah, I guess he might not be lying. He might just be making it sound a lot better. Than it. I'm sure. He could go out and get money, but it's not like he's basically saying, I could get millions of dollars overnight to keep this train rolling. But I don't know. If I'm an investor, I don't know if I'm putting money into this. Let somebody else take that huge risk.
At this point, we should just invest. It's only 60 cents a share.
We should make our own MoviePass competitor because we could come up with a way better name than the other competitor. Cinemia?
Cinemia?
The hell?
They're Moroccan or something.
Sounds like a weird baking item. I don't know. Yeah, not good.
Yeah, I'm hoping this is true. I would love for MoviePass to go on as long as possible, but it's not going to. Although the thing is like, they have done what they need to do for audiences, for moviegoers, because now there is an appetite, there's a want for this sort of subscription service.
Yep.
So theaters are going to have to pony up, or someone else is going to have to make this sort of subscription service and make it work. Because it probably can work, it's just...
And
they
I think
set the right price.
Theaters have had a valid concern where what happens when MoviePass goes under? Now consumers are trained that I should not have to pay $18 for these movies anymore. Yeah. So like it or not, a subscription service like this is going to happen. Might as well pony up, make this work, guys. Figure it out.
Yeah. I think the theaters might just be waiting for MoviePass to die so they can roll out like their own subscription services that will probably be like, you know, like less enticing but still better than paying for that much money for each ticket.
At the end of the day, we're done paying $20 for a movie nowadays, except for, you know, Star Wars, Avengers, all that.
Next up, Chris Evans, Captain America, is going to star in Neil Blomkamp's Greenland, which is about a family struggling in a cataclysmic world event. That is all the news and details being shared about it right now. Blomkamp struck out on his whole Oats studio trying to crowdfund. We talked about this a couple episodes ago, but he runs this Oats studio thing that put out like a fair amount of cool kind of short films over the last year, 2 years. And basically he tried crowdfunding to make like a feature length film based on one of those, and they didn't make enough money, so they had to give it all back. But apparently they're still interested in him because he's getting this movie, and he got Chris Evans to star. That's a pretty good star.
So Blomkamp directed District 9, clearly his best film. Elysium was mediocre. Chappie, I never saw. Did you?
I did not, but I heard Chappie's like better than
I've heard it's
Elysium,
pretty good. We should give it a watch. Yeah. I still really want to see more stuff from this guy. Still want to see him take Alien on someday. So yeah, this, especially with Chris Evans as the either the lead or a co-lead, this will probably be awesome.
You should watch some of his shorts. There's one that was sort of supposed to be kind of what his Alien movie was kind of supposed to be like, and that one was kind of cool. I haven't watched any other ones, but I've heard they're pretty good. But it's interesting to me because he's very like sci-fi. I wonder how sci-fi this will get. Like obviously it's like kind of supposed to be like an end of the world kind of scenario, but I'm interested in like if this is going to be like more realistic, like a disaster kind of movie or like an alien invasion kind of thing or what, because he hasn't really done more of like real world scenarios. So
yeah,
I don't know. And then last up is a Monster Hunter adaptation is in the works. Production is beginning in September with Mila Jovovich to star. She was in Resident Evil and a bunch of other movies. Is Paul W.S. Anderson directing?
You know
this?
He is.
Of course he would be.
So he's married to Mila and has directed all those Resident Evil movies, which I still think Resident Evil 1's okay, and some of them are okay fight scenes and stuff, but man, these movies are trash. He did do Event Horizon, which I really liked, but I was really hoping something to the scale of this this Monster Hunter franchise would go to somebody else. Knowing he's behind it with Mila, I'm not too excited for this one.
Yeah.
Monster Hunter, it's a franchise that's Capcom developed. It's been very, very big overseas and has gained a lot of popularity recently with the release of Monster Hunter World. Very good co-op game, made it accessible for new players didn't alienate old players. I've been playing it quite a bit with my friends, some other Glitch Up peeps. So, was excited, but not too much anymore.
Did you ever... This is another news story that I saw just before we kind of started. Did you ever play the video game Fear?
I did.
Mm-hmm. You did?
Yeah.
That has an adaptation in the works at Warner Brothers, I believe.
Nice.
Interesting.
It was really scary, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I remember playing it in college. It was terrifying, actually.
Yeah.
It was like a scary game that was a crazy first-person shooter, too. It was action-packed, but still scary. Okay. Like, so... As long as it's not a shoddy CG fest, we'll see.
I could see like a scary video game becoming a good video game movie adaptation.
Yeah.
It feels like one of the easier ways to replicate that sort of audience effect. Okay. Well, that's it for movie news. Time for TV news. Cancellation and renewal time. We got Upfronts is coming up soon, I believe, is what the Hollywood biz calls it, where all the networks present all their numbers and
I think Fox is like currently presenting right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. I've seen some stuff about it.
So we had quite a bit of cancellations, and so people seem to really respond to the cancellations this year. I think it's because it was more beloved shows, I guess, with more like cult followings. There's actually been less shows canceled this year at this point than there were last year. So I think it's just the
quality of shows that millennials watch that they stream and they don't understand why they're being canceled. And a lot of shows that are beloved and a lot of shows that are being canceled that have had like five-ish seasons instead of ones that are just one or two.
Yeah. So Fox, just for Fox, Fox canceled The Mick, which was Kaylin Olson, D from It's Always Sunny's show after two seasons. Last Man on Earth, which had Will Forte after four seasons, I believe?
I think so, yeah.
And then and then this was the biggest one, and this is one we'll talk about. Brooklyn Nine-Nine got canceled, and that is after five seasons now. But then there was a huge outcry of support from fans.
Netflix, from, pick it up. From, Hulu,
from, yeah,
pick it up.
From famous, like a bunch of celebrities were like, how could you, like, you get rid of this, all this stuff. Basically, it took, what, 24 hours for it to get picked up by NBC. It got picked up by NBC, renewed for another season. It was kind of weird with Brooklyn Nine-Nine because NBC, I think, produced it, but but Fox distributed it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I essentially, it was like NBC would be kind of dumb to not pick it up. So,
and Hulu streamed it.
Yep, and Hulu streams it.
Fox wasn't making any money off broadcast, apparently, because nobody watched it live on air.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is a good move by NBC. Even if it's just to give it like one final like hurrah, one sort of walkout season, like they did with like the final season of The Office or Parks and Rec or all that.
It's just I think it's really telling about the current state of TV. Like that's but the biggest backlash I've heard on a show cancellation in a long time, and it's because the people. I mean, obviously, we heard it because we're online all day, and it's just because old people watch CSI. Miami. They don't watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, so of course Fox isn't going to make any money on this.
It's funny that you say that about like CSI Miami, is that when you see CBS shows that get canceled, it's always like their new ones. They're like season one shit.
Yeah.
You never see like that old, the old stuff get canceled.
There's nine variations of CSI that are still going.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a wild thing here. A show that got canceled a year ago, Last Man Standing, the Tim Allen show that is... that leans pretty right wing, apparently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got picked up by Fox.
They
brought it back. It was on ABC originally, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And Fox brought it back after canceling like these three shows that people seem to really love. So
Fox is smart. They continue to make smart moves. God. A lot of other shows getting the axe as well.
Yeah. Taken, the Liam Neeson movie spinoff that was on NBC got canceled. The Inhumans got canceled.
Which I thought it got canceled like right away.
Yeah.
I think they just didn't announce it, and I'm very confused why they'd even bring it up now.
Just silently went away. Kevin Can Wait, Kevin James's show
let's talk about what happened here. This is hilarious.
So it just finished its second season, it's finishing its second season, I believe. And in the first season, he had a wife on the show, and this is played by one actress that you've probably seen in like some other sitcoms. And then at the end of the season, they got rid of her, and they brought on Leah Remini, who played Kevin James's wife in King of Queens. And basically just, I don't remember if they killed off his wife, his original wife in the show, or if she just disappeared.
They literally killed her off.
They killed her off in a sitcom.
For a King of Queens, essentially a King of Queens reunion.
King of Queens reboot, yeah. Hilarious. That is just like one of the most wild, wild things.
It sounds like fan fiction that they ended up funding and putting on the air. And from fans of King of Queens, I've heard that it was terrible. Even when they did that, they were like, this is not working.
Yeah. Then we have a few shows that were just kind of on the way out anyways. I think it was kind of like they were going to get canceled anyways this year, but last year they told him, like, we'll give you, like, an abbreviated final season or something like that. So Scandal just wrapped up a couple weeks ago. That's done. Once Upon a Time wrapped up. That's done. New Girl has, like, one or two episodes left, and then that's done.
Wait, so New Girl knew that it was going to be...
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
That was going to be axed. Gotcha.
Yeah. And so, like, usually New Girl has, like, 16 episodes or 20 episodes or something. They only had 8 this year. And then The Expanse, which is a sci-fi show, got canceled. But there's a big support for that show, apparently.
I love the headline of this. It's like, The Expanse is gaining real traction. It appears to be gaining real traction. You could tell it's just written by a fan of this show that was just like, guys, it's really gaining some steam. if you're reading this, it's gonna get picked up. It's gonna get picked. Whoever picks it up is gonna make a lot of money, guys.
It's making some real noise, I hear.
It's making waves out there, guys. Expect some news about this tonight. It's going to get picked up, guys. Yep.
Apparently, Expanse, whatever their latest season, has like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes, which I don't really take that into account for TV shows because there's like 10 reviews for a TV show on a season. But apparently it's pretty good. But Sci-Fi essentially doesn't own like certain distribution rights for it, or there's some sort of weird distribution stuff, so they were just kind of like, well, it's not really worth the cost that we're putting into it. So
hot take, I watched the first two seasons and I wasn't that impressed.
All right.
I have heard season three so far is very good, and they took a lot of the complaints about season one and two and nixed, you know, the crap parts and buffed the good parts. So I hate giving up on shows, so I might give it a watch.
All right. And so that's about it for cancellations. There's a bunch of other ones out there, so you can go check that out. Next up, we will do renewals here. Talk about some renewals. Rick and Morty, which was up in the air for quite a bit, pretty beloved show, despite having a toxic fan base, has been renewed for 70 episodes. That's 7-0.
I thought
70
this was
episodes.
A joke thing, like, because they put out, they're like, the new season's out, but it was just a joke single episode. I thought it was just a troll. 70 episodes? Wow.
What is this going to be on until like 2050? Like,
it's the new Simpsons,
I guess. But that's just like an insane renewal. It just kind of feels like a dumb, funny thing that they thought they would do, and like they're just going to have it on until like Dan Harmon gets sick. Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland just get sick of making
it. Exactly. Yeah. It's just a fun. I feel like it's a slight troll since all this other news is coming out. Yeah.
Yeah. Next up, AP Bio, which is Glenn Howerton's comedy that's on NBC. He plays Dennis in It's Always Sunny, has been renewed for a season two. I watched all season one. I actually just wrapped it up last week. I actually think it's a decent show. It's not bad. It's kind of funny. It doesn't, like, it's obvious. It's on NBC. It's a network sitcom, so it kind of has,
like,
a little bit of
PG-13 Dennis from Always Sunny?
A little bit. He's actually, yeah, but he's, like, still, like, psychotic and, like, a terrible
He's typecasted. Person. I love it.
Yeah. But they don't veer too much into like trying to give it a heart, and like there's a lesson at every end at the end of every episode. Basically, like, he shoots himself in the foot. Like, you think that he's making headway, like doing all this terrible shit, and like the season kind of like comes and you're like, "Oh wow, he actually succeeded doing this bad stuff." And then it just comes back to bite him in the ass, and then he's just like being a dick to the students again.
From what I've heard, the kids are hilarious too.
Oh, yeah. The kids are fantastic. The kids are fantastic in it, yeah, which really helps because kids can ruin bad kid actors can ruin everything. Gotham has been renewed for a fifth and final season at Fox. I've never watched Gotham.
Me neither.
Yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been renewed for an abbreviated season six at ABC, so they're going out with just like a little shorter season.
I watched the first two seasons and gave up. It was kind of bad.
I heard it's gotten better. It's been actually pretty good the past couple seasons. Lost in Space, which premiered on Netflix last month, I believe, has been renewed for a season two. Let me tell you this. I watched the first episode of Lost in Space and got through 20 minutes, and then I could not watch anymore.
Is it too family-friendly for you, Austin? Are you just a hater? Does it have just to be NC-17? Did they not show any skin?
Shut up. It just didn't hook me. It wasn't very entertaining.
The production value is looking insane. And
the production value is pretty good. The mom in it who plays...
She's in House of Cards.
She's in House
Jackie
of Cards.
Jackie from House of Cards.
She has no redeeming qualities. At least in the 20 minutes that I watched. And I was like, I can't do this. And like, the kids were okay. And like, the dad was whatever. So it was just like, nothing hooked me. And then like, when you have one bad character that's essentially like the lead in the show that I can't like, I get out of here. I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I can understand why I got renewed. And then Lethal Weapon, this is hilarious.
I love this
thing. Lethal Weapon, apparently the lead who's playing Riggs was a bit problematic on set.
He's problematic as a character. I mean, he's a bad boy.
Yeah. So Clayne Crawford, they got rid of him, and Sean William Scott has been tapped to replace him. There's no details really about how he's replacing him. No one knows if Sean William Scott is coming in and playing the same character, just like no questions asked, or if he's like coming in as like a brother that's like they're gonna kill him off, and the brother's like wants to get revenge or
something.
From
what I heard, it's the brother scenario.
Yeah, but which is funny because apparently they had an episode a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was the last episode, where Riggs had a secret brother that came out of like the woodwork, and so now they're gonna have another secret brother come out of the woodwork.
Oh my god!
And Sean William Scott. So interesting way to go about it, but I guess you gotta get rid of a bad person.
Clayne Crawford, what a horrible name, was basically just like freaking out on set people who. He said, like, oh, these working situations are unsafe. And it was, like three times in a row where the people were like, dude, stop freaking out. Mm-hmm. And eventually they just fired him.
Yeah. That happens. Just don't be a dick. And
no. That's how we wait, live our lives. Don't be a dick.
Why isn't Sean William Scott been in more stuff?
I don't know. I wonder this all the time. He's been in frickin' Goon, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a good actor.
He was Country Mac on...
Yes. Yes.
It's Always Sunny for one episode. Yes. But that's it. Why isn't he in anything else? Like, it makes me worry that he's a dick, kind of a dick, too.
Ooh.
But I hope he isn't.
I really like him. Role Models? He's great in Role Models, but that's like the last feature film besides Goon that I've seen him in.
Oh, 100%. He's also great in The Rundown.
Sure.
Another working title, Welcome to the Jungle with The Rock. So, I mean, you have a jungle movie with The Rock on your resume, you got to get some better work.
He needs to get him in the MCU or Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Last bit of TV news here. Guillermo del Toro is creating a Netflix horror anthology series, 10 Past Midnight. Basically, each episode is going to be sort of like a new genre tale, but sort of in this horror realm. He's going to write and direct certain episodes of it, while other installments will be, you know, written and directed by other people, handpicked by him. Basically, it's going to be... Guillermo del Toro presents 10 After Midnight. So it's like, apparently there's an Alfred Hitchcock presents anthology kind of series. So this is sort of a mix between it. But give me this. I'm all about it.
I just went from 6 to midnight. This sounds awesome.
Oh, yeah. I'm pumped. Hopefully it comes soon. Like,
is anything like it sounds like Black Mirror, but scarier?
Yeah.
Awesome. Let's go.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Before we get to two trailers, I actually do want to talk about sort of in TV here. Have you been watching Silicon Valley or Barry,
the Bill Hader Hitman show? I need to see the finale of Silicon Valley, but I've been watching the rest. Yep.
Okay.
And I've not touched Barry, but I've heard good things.
Okay. Basically, I just want to give some quick praise because they had their season finales last night. Silicon Valley has been kind of up and down for me, kind of meh, just because they kind of do the same arc every season.
Yeah.
But I thought this season has been really good, especially losing TJ Miller and / Ehrlich, who I thought was like one of the funniest characters on the show.
I think Richard has improved quite a bit.
Oh,
he's been
God,
really
yes.
funny.
Letting Jared just kind of run. Jared is the MVP. He's hilarious.
I hated him in The Office, but my God, do I love him in this.
He's so good.
Every line is so cringy and weird and spooky and hilarious.
So spooky.
He's so spooky.
He has a line in the finale that is, I was dying.
Yeah.
Because it's just so unexpected from a character like him.
He's such a good like facial actor too. There was a scene this season where he basically gets promoted and Richard turns to him and is like, "You want the job?" And he just pauses and goes and puts his hand over his mouth, and I was crying. It was so funny. Yeah, it's been a good season.
Yeah. And then Barry is this like dark comedy hitman show that Bill Hader created and produced and writes for and stars in. It's not like as outstanding as I think like critics try to make it out to be and fans make it out to be, but it's still like really good, and I'm impressed with how well they make it dramatic, having only whatever a half hour each week, and like how invested I am in this. And it's kind of like, it kind of flips like the whole anti-hero thing that was going on for the past whatever like 7 years with like Breaking Bad and Mad Men and like all that kind of stuff, kind of male anti-hero leads, and kind of flips it a little bit where like he's bad but he's trying to be good, instead of like, oh, he has like good morals to start and then he turns bad because he just wants to make good happen, but like he's always been bad and he's trying to make good happen, but he's still kind of bad. And I just kind of like love how they work it out.
Is there like laugh out loud moments too?
There's a couple. There is, all the supporting characters are like really, really good.
Nice.
There's basically he works with like Chechenian like mob, and there is this like one bald dude that has, I don't know what it is, it called it's not alopecia, that's like losing hair or something,
a toupee,
where you have like no hair at all, you're like all bald.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like this Chechenian dude, and he is one of the funniest characters on like any show, because he like
give it a watch
takes Yeah, it's really good. You got to watch it. I recommend all listeners to watch it, so give it a watch. All right, so that is it for all TV talk. Time for two trailers. First up, we have Searching, which I thought was Unfriended 2 to start.
Because it's just on a computer the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. So this movie stars John Cho.
Harold.
Yes.
Or Kumar. No, Harold. Yep.
No, he's Harold. Yeah. Yep. From Harold and Kumar. He's kind of having a renaissance here. He was in like some really acclaimed indie movie last year. He's got a couple more movies coming out.
Star Trek.
And basically, like I said, this plays all out on a computer. So you could be mistaken if you thought, and it's supposed to be like a thriller and like intense, but it's not like as horror-y, and it's not definitely not like super high school drama-y because he's an adult. Basically, he's worried about his daughter who just kind of went missing.
Yeah.
And he's it plays out all on the computer. Track her down. Yeah, and he's interacting with Deborah Messing, who's supposedly playing the detective, even though she kind of sounds like a robot. She sounds like Siri. Doesn't she?
I was like, why are the requirements for her working with the case a robot? Maybe that's part of the plot twist.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, but this premiered at Sundance or maybe South by Southwest, one of the two, maybe both, and it had like rave reviews. So I'm pretty interested in it. Like,
I like the review that flashed across the screen where it was like, "This movie changes everything." I was like, "All right, let's pump the brakes."
Those are my favorite reviews. Whenever like it's something like a little different, and it's like, "Oh, whoa!
This flips the entire cinematic industry upside down."
Like every movie is all gonna play it on a computer screen from now on.
Yeah. They're reshooting Star Wars 9 to look like a Mac OS.
Just the rainbow wheel pops up like every 10 minutes. Oh man. And then the other trailer is for The Predator, the Predator reboot or Predator series reboot. I don't even know how to put it.
I practiced a Predator sound before this to see if I could do it, and I can't.
So basically, a little kid, Jacob Tremblay, who played the who played the little kid in Room.
Nope, oh, that's God. The Grudge.
Too similar. finds like a he opens up a box in his house and finds some sort of predator gear, which stupid.
Yeah.
Also, screw that little kid.
Yeah.
I know he was good in Room. He sucks in everything else. He's
really?
So
I haven't seen him in anything
He's just like an annoying little kid and everything else.
Movies live or die with those kid actors, man. They can ruin movies.
But this is a pretty good cast around it. I mean, you got Boyd Holbrook, who played the villain, one of the villains, I should say, in Logan. He's in Narcos. Sterling K. Brown, my dude.
He's in everything these days, too.
Yeah. You got a bunch of other people. Olivia Munn's in there. Even though like Olivia Munn is kind of like a franchise killer.
Yeah,
she is. The opposite of The Rock. Like, I don't even think she's, like, that terrible. She's just, I don't know what it is. There's just something about her that just kills things, I guess. Yeah,
that makes movies bad. I thought she was great in Newsroom, but everything else I've seen her hasn't been good.
Yeah, she just needs to go back to Aaron Rodgers. Ruin him again.
Yes, we need please. That.
Just
please
kill everything.
On and off.
I don't know what to think about this movie. Also, I love that it said, from the director of Iron Man 3.
Right.
Because it's Shane Black, but, like, he made like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which is better. And Nice Guys, which is better. And
they're not going to put those before an action movie.
Yeah,
though.
I guess. Yeah.
Even though Iron Man 3 is widely regarded as, I guess maybe 2 was worse than 3, but
yeah.
I honestly, this trailer didn't do much for me. They didn't show much of the Predator, which is what people.
No.
Of course, you don't want to give too much away, but it showed a kid, flying a spaceship around, and the dialogue was pretty bad. It's like, I don't want you to get too crazy, and he's like, we're mercenaries. Aren't we supposed to be crazy? Wow. Good stuff, guys. Off to a good start with Predator.
I don't know. I don't think it looks very good.
And I was so psyched for it, too. But we'll hold off for the real trailer since this was just a teaser.
Yeah. All right. So that is it for trailers. Now it is time for Life of the Party and I Feel Pretty Talk. We are going to spoil these movies, so if, like, for some reason you don't want to be spoiled, skip.
And the reason we're going to do it is because they're not very good.
And because both of us didn't see both of them. We saw one, so it's kind of tough. But We'll start with Life of the Party. You want to start with Life of the Party?
You want me to start? Okay.
Yeah.
So Life of the Party stars Melissa McCarthy and is written and directed by Melissa McCarthy and Ben Falcone, who is her real-life husband. Mm-hmm. You might remember him from Bridesmaids as the cop on the airplane. So this is a tag team duo, and the synopsis is when her husband suddenly dumps her, longtime and dedicated housewife Deanna turns regret into reset by going back to college. Unfortunately, Deanna winds up at the same school as her less-than-thrilled daughter. Plunging headlong into the campus experience, the outspoken new student soon begins a journey of self-discovery while fully embracing all of the fun, freedom, and frat boys that she can handle. Tomato meter from critics, 39%. It's about where I expected from the trailer. Audience score, 56%. Critics consensus, Life of the Party's good-natured humor and abundance of on-screen talent aren't enough to make up for jumbled direction and a script that misses far more often than it hits. What did you think about the trailer when you saw it?
I thought it looked okay, to be honest. I like Melissa McCarthy a fair amount.
Really?
Yeah.
We and both saw the wrong movies then.
And so
you might have been a little more fair to this one.
So I was expecting more like a 50%, like a nice like even down the middle, but I can understand how it dropped to 39 or that is around that area.
So I'll start with the good. Short list. It was casted well. I mean, it was written by and for and played by Melissa McCarthy. Like, she wrote this movie for herself because she knows
the way to do it.
She knows what roles she does well, and this is pretty much her shtick. And I think she knew that going in and wrote it with herself in mind. So yeah. Obviously casted well. There are a few funny lines. I mean, every joke is telegraphed, you know, moments before. Every joke revolves around old mom in college, fish out of water, whatever. But there were a handful, 3-4 times that I kind of laughed out loud.
That's good.
Which was not laughed out loud. Like, laughed more than like a, yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a small amount of heart. I mean, a lot of old people and moms are going to love this. It's got some relatable baby boomer-ish jokes. Like, okay. I'm not the target audience, but baby boomers are going to love this movie, moms especially.
Oh, interesting. All right. All right.
Jin Yang from Silicon Valley is in this movie, and he speaks perfect English.
Really?
Did you know he could speak perfect English?
No, I did not, because I've only seen him in Silicon Valley, and then he was also in Patriots Day, the Boston bombing movie.
Yeah, he was.
And he also had a
couldn't speak
Asian accent in that. Yeah. So
he shows up in this movie, and he's like, hey, come on over. Come get a drink. Let's hang out. Let's do college things. I was like, oh, my God. It was really off-putting. So that's it for the good.
An extensive list.
Yeah. Let me just say, I'm glad I searched Reddit before this and I found someone else who wrote kind of a long breakdown of this, because I didn't have to waste any more mental energy on this.
Oh, okay,
did you kind of do the same thing?
I have everything in my mind because...
You're just going to rattle it
as
off.
As much as I didn't like I Feel Pretty, everything that I thought about it stuck in my mind.
Okay.
It is memorable. I'll say that.
Okay. This movie's not memorable.
Okay.
So thank you, Reddit user Transmogrify, for most of this list. I kept things in that I agreed with and added some spots of my own. The movie spoon-feeds you the plot. There's so much exposition dump, it's cringeworthy.
Does Melissa McCarthy end up... I just need to know this.
Spoil the plot just, from the trailer. Go ahead.
Does she end up with a college student, or does she like end up back with an older man? Is there an older man at play in this movie?
There is no older man, but boy, does she bang a college student, a young boy, for the entire movie.
Jesus.
Yes.
Christ.
Yes.
Does she like realize at the end that she shouldn't be doing that?
No.
Or is like,
no. She loves it. She's like, I'm the best. And I'll talk about that relationship in a few minutes here.
Right.
But she this is on the list as well. No one learns anything this entire movie. There is no character development. Obviously, Melissa McCarthy learns something because she obviously graduates college, which is the whole plot of the movie, but no one else learns.
Does she go to school for 4 years in this movie?
So the plot revolves around her husband, asking for a divorce as they drive away from dropping her daughter off for her final year of college. Okay. Melissa McCarthy gave up her final year of college to have her daughter and decided that her husband should be the one to finish because they needed to save money.
Yep.
So that was telegraphed from the beginning. And there was so much exposition dump. Like, their parents were like, Melissa McCarthy, you are so close to getting your final credits for college. It's always grinded at my gears that you decided to marry him, and due to getting pregnant and only deciding one of you could get your career finished, it's always grinded away at me, and you know that, daughter of mine. And I was just like, oh, yeah, okay, well, that's the movie. I got it.
Gotta be spoon-fed.
The Melissa McCarthy shtick gets old really quick. You can see every joke coming from a mile away. There's really no laugh-out-loud moments. Everything's slowly and painfully set up. It's all telegraphed. You saw the trailer. You saw the funny parts, really. The script was really bad at times. There was a scene with her parents. They keep going back and forth about whether or not Melissa McCarthy wants a sandwich or not, or whether she can eat or not because she's so upset. They keep going back and forth. She doesn't want a sandwich. And the dad's like, just make her a sandwich. And it just seems like, whoa, did you even like script test this? Did you have a table read?
A weird joke to dwell on.
And then the father eventually pulls out a gun, which is about as lazy as a shtick as Michael Scott pulling out a gun during his improv classes in The Office, where they literally have to ban him pulling out of a gun because it just takes over the entire scene. I've got a couple more bullets.
Okay. All right.
She extremely is unrealistically accepted by peers at the college, where the things that she does at this college are borderline psychotic. She stalks her daughter to want to, like, hang out with her constantly. Mm-hmm. Her daughter's friends immediately accept her in and become obsessed with her almost, like, a cultish and, like, idolistic amount. It's really strange. No one thinks she's weird at all. Only one student calls her out and, like, makes fun of her and is just like, you're an old woman at college. And she's immediately seen as the villain of the movie, which she kind of is. Like, she's a bitch. But Britta from Community is in the movie. And
as a college student?
Yes. A college student that wakes up from a coma after 6 years, which is an irrelevant plot point that is never addressed again.
Oh, God.
They introduce a lot of things that you think, like, oh, that's going to come back, and we're going to have a moment where a character grows, and no, they just say things, and then they're never brought up again. Okay. Well, anyway, this woman makes fun of Melissa McCarthy, calls her old, whatever, and then Britta from Community cuts this woman's hair off in class, which is way more mean and psychotic than someone just making fun of an old mom in college. And then that's never addressed again. She just cuts, like, this giant lock of hair off this woman. And I don't know. That was just bad. There's a strange roommate that Melissa McCarthy has. She's a goth roommate that's, like, half vampire or something.
Classic.
Where she doesn't like sunlight. She's very weird and closeted and, like, sleeps in Melissa McCarthy's closet for no reason. And that whole subplot is never brought up again.
Interesting.
Until she introduces Christina Aguilera as a guest singer at the end of the movie because it's her cousin. So there's an event where they need to raise money for Melissa McCarthy to continue to go to college. So they have to raise money, and Christina Aguilera's on campus. And they convince Christina Aguilera to come back because luckily the goth girl was Christina Aguilera's cousin. For no reason. This is just the song. This is just the pop star that they could get for this movie.
Oh, no.
She develops a love interest with a very, very young campus boy. This guy's got a weird fetish because he just wants to bang her over and over the entire movie. He's extremely horny. And
is there any sort of, like, center emotional plot with the daughter and Melissa McCarthy that, like, is supposed to be, like, resolved or, like, go through some sort of arc throughout the movie?
No, you would think that a lot of the movie revolves around how weird it is for the daughter and Melissa McCarthy to be going to the same school, and Melissa McCarthy would be banging her daughter's friends. She literally bangs her daughter's boyfriend's friend, best friend. And it you think that there's gonna be that arc to overcome, but the daughter just is, like, fine with it. She's never too weirded out. Which is a big miss. Like,
okay, yeah. Weird.
They introduce Chris Parnell as an old college acquaintance of Miss Melissa McCarthy, and she's like, oh, it's Dr. Spaceman, I love him. And then it's never addressed again. Melissa McCarthy overcomes a fear of public speaking. That's the only thing that's overcome in this movie.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, there's one. That's good.
Yep.
That's good. Big. I'm starting to think that maybe I Feel Pretty was better.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know how, because I hated this movie, but I'm starting to think.
Well, now we have to watch each other's and come back and revisit this podcast one day.
I know.
I'm almost done. I told you there's zero character development or growth. The mean girl who insults Melissa McCarthy and gets her hair cut off by the apparently not mean girl eventually they just become friends because Melissa McCarthy's like, girls shouldn't fight, they should stick together. And then the villain is like, yeah, you're right, you're cool. So that's the big growth for the villain in the movie. Melissa McCarthy says girls shouldn't catfight and should stick together.
Is there anything more to this evil girl other than like saying like mean no. jokes?
She literally just calls her an old fat mom that shouldn't be in college. There's nothing else to it. And honestly, the retorts that people do things to her are worse than what she did.
What was the point of this movie? Was there any point to this movie?
Fish out of water, couple college jokes, mom bangs young person. Okay, so I'm going to spoil the biggest plot point of the movie.
Okay.
She's getting a divorce for her husband. Her husband's in love with some other girl. The other girl that he's in love with, the college student that Melissa McCarthy is banging, is the realtor's son. So that makes for an awkward scene that isn't really played up for much, and then they kind of move on for that, and they graduate, and no one learned anything, and it's a really hollow movie with very little heart, a couple fun jokes, but it was like a D-minus movie for me. A Ooh, very big waste wow. of time. Yeah.
Holy cow. Wow.
Yeah. That's all I got, man. I mean, it was written by and for herself. She played the part perfectly, I can tell you that. She played Melissa McCarthy in the roles that she does. I will say this, if you're looking for a movie to maybe put on with your parents that's super safe, has a couple kind of cringy jokes, you can do worse than this, I guess. Movie to watch with your mom.
Okay.
It feels like it was supposed to be a little more raunchy, but then they're like, let's just edit it, cut it, and we'll just release it around Mother's Day as yeah. a way for mothers yeah. and daughters to go to All a movie. Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Wow. I wish I had more questions, but I just don't.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like a movie that warrants any sort of questions.
Well, so, I'll watch yours if you watch mine.
All right, so that's a D-minus for Life of the Party from Andy. So I Feel Pretty. This is the latest Amy Schumer movie, not written by her, like Trend Wreck was. This is written by a duo, a man and woman, Abby Cohen and Mark Silverstein, who also directed it. PG-13, it's not R, like Trainwreck was, which kind of hurts a little bit.
What's their background? What did they have? They done anything notable? Writers, directors.
Give me 1 second, and I'll find out. How to Be Single. He's Just Not That Into You.
Okay. The same movie.
Valentine's Day. Never Been Kissed and The Vow. They wrote all those. They did not direct them. So okay. That's they have no fresh Rotten Tomato scores.
Okay.
This has 33% on Rotten Tomatoes critic score, 32% audience score, but I actually don't trust that because I think people
think they go manipulate crazy it?
And attack Amy Schumer stuff because people don't like her. And so I would say I would bet this would probably be more around like not very high, but like maybe like 50%. Okay. I guess for audience score. Critic consensus, I Feel Pretty has a charming star and the outline of a worthwhile comedy, but unlike its suddenly confident central character, it suffers from a fundamental lack of conviction. Couldn't agree more. Basically, Amy Schumer is this woman that works for this beauty product company, who actually, best part of the movie is Michelle Williams plays the owner of this beauty product company, and she has this this insecure but like beautiful successful woman, and she has like this really high-pitched voice that is actually kind of funny. Like the first time I heard it, I was like, what is going on? And unfortunately it's only ruined because she addresses it later in the movie, and it's like, oh, you didn't have to do that. Just let
funny
it play
if you
out.
Address it.
Yeah. But basically she works for this company, but she doesn't work in the corporate office. She works like doing some sort of like online, like I don't even know what she does, but she works in like this like random Chinatown basement with one other dude. The dude is played by like the guy from like the Aaron Rodgers State Farm commercials, the discount double check guy. Rodgers. Oh. He's probably one of the best parts of the movie.
Really?
He's pretty funny. Yeah.
Okay.
He like doesn't pronounce anything correctly for some reason. And
pronounce anything
funny.
Correctly?
Nice. Yeah. Little tie in there.
Yeah. Definitely did that on purpose.
Yeah, totally. And basically, she's super insecure, low self-esteem, all this kind of stuff. And she goes to this SoulCycle class. SoulCycle, my God, the ad placement, the product placement in this movie is absurd. There is a scene where they call out Hidden Valley Ranch 4 times in a minute.
Oh, my God. The whole name.
And it's like, oh, my God, what are you doing? And so she goes to SoulCycle and collapses off of this bike. And you think that that's where, like, the injury happens that makes her super confident, which you see in the trailers. It's not. Huh. It takes 30 minutes for that to happen. It takes a second trip to SoulCycle. So she does that, and then she's like, and then it drops even lower. She's even more insecure, even like lower self-esteem, and like super down. And then she like wants to apply to this receptionist job at the corporate office of this beauty product company. But she's like, I can't, like, I'm not going to be able to get into this. And so she's like, she doesn't do it. And so then she goes back to SoulCycle, like, another time. And she gets, like, her hair caught. She falls off again. My God.
Oh, my God.
Gets her, because she gets, like, she thinks that someone is, she thinks that, like, the instructor is, like, talking directly to her. And, like, this is her moment to, like, all of a sudden be confident. Because apparently she, like, believes in, like, this magical kind of stuff. And so she falls off, and then that's when the head injury happens. And then she's all of a sudden confident. She thinks it's like super beautiful. It's sort of funny. Directly after that, you get like this one, like customer service person from SoulCycle that's like helping her out. That was like really rude to her before. Not necessarily really rude, but like has funny banter. And is basically like so confused that like she thinks that she like is all of a sudden beautiful. She's like looking at herself and like flexing like her like stomach, which like clearly is not like toned or abs defined.
I have a question about that. Is it ever shown from behind her eyes?
It's
like,
it's,
is she seeing herself pretty?
No.
It's just a mental flip.
It's all like a third person point of view. It's never from like her point of view, which is kind of weird.
So we never see what she sees.
No.
Okay. Got it.
And so, you know, it has all these beats, and she gets, you know, confident. She gets this job at this company, but it's mainly she only gets the job because the beauty product company is starting up a low end, cheap beauty product line for like people that can't pay a ton for that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And basically the whole point is like only people that pay for like low price beauty products aren't beautiful, and is essentially like what they're saying. It's like, oh, that's nice. And basically the only reason she got this job despite being confident is because she is like,
that's a terrible whatever, message.
Unattractive. No, is this the weirdest thing about this movie is it's like they're trying to say something good, like you should be confident with who you are no matter who you are, but they flip it with essentially every single plot point in the movie by saying like, no, you basically need to be like this way to have this, and like people only view you this way, and they'll just think you're like absurd for thinking you're confident and all this stuff. And like they have like all these people that she works with that are like these like models essentially, like
right,
look down at her and like super confused and like weirded out by her being super confident. And then just randomly they're all of a sudden inviting her to stuff, and the only way that they make this like feel good plot line come through is with her relationship with this Rory Scovel guy, who I guess is a comedian, and he's like a normal looking dude. He's nothing special, but he's like also not confident in himself. He's just kind of like whatever, but he's like not like annoyingly low self-esteemy, and like basically they strike up a relationship, and he's just like impressed by her confidence, and like that's like the only way that it shines through is like, oh, I was impressed by your confidence, like that's why I love you, blah blah blah, all this mm-hmm, kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Rory completely Scovel. just bare subplots, B plot lines. Michelle Williams' brother, who's like this like super attractive like dude that it must be British but is trying to put on an American accent that has the worst American accent possible. Like I wasn't sure if he was supposed to be British in the movie or not, that's how bad the accent was, is like apparently randomly enamored with Amy Schumer and like tries to like hook up with her, and then she like rejects him, and then nothing is ever made of it again. There's no reason. They don't give any reasoning behind him liking her other than the fact that she was confident in front of him once.
So a lot of subplots that are
yeah.
never addressed and again.
There's like this interfamilial thing with Michelle Williams, that brother, and then her grandma who started the company, and them like having like these sort of like familial spats and stuff, but they never like address it. They never like go deeper into it. They never like make it funny in any way. When there's like 100 opportunities to do so. Emily Ratajkowski is in this, who's a model, kind of an actress, I guess. She was in like Gone Girl and some other movies. She's actually decent in this. She's not in it very often, but she's also like another through line to try and like make this plot hammer home. Cause she's a very attractive woman. But she's like, has low self-esteem and is kind of insecure because of like, for whatever reasons, like she gets dumped by a boyfriend and then Amy Schumer's like, who would dump you? Blah, 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 blah. And she's like, well, I still get dumped too. Like, it's not all about that. And it's like Amy Schumer, like that was like one of the worst scenes was when Amy Schumer walks in on Emily Ratajkowski crying because she got dumped. Amy Schumer essentially attacks her because she's like, how could you get dumped? Like, what is wrong? Like, why would that happen? Like, that's so dumb, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And, like, it's like, wow, really good job consoling this crying woman and, like, just trying to make it about you, how, like, you wish you were as attractive as her. And like.
So this is before she had the mind switch.
This, oh, my bad.
Or is it after?
I forgot to mention. So they met once before the mind switch. They see each other again after the mind switch. And then they see each other again after the mind switch reverses. So there's
spoilers!
A reverse mind switch. Oh! Sorry.
I knew that was coming. So, I saw the trailer.
So when Amy Schumer rejects the brother, she's at this hotel and she's about to give this big pitch to Target about their low-end beauty product line. And she basically like tells him to get out, locks the door, and then the joke is she has diarrhea and she has to go shit or something, which is just, you know,
garnered
a lot of laughs.
Joke.
And so she runs into the bathroom, starts the shower, and it's like in like this glass shower, and it starts like fogging up and stuff. And her phone starts ringing, and she turns around and like moves really fast towards the door, which she closed, and hits her head. And it's like all bloody, and then she wakes up again, and she's not confident anymore, and is like freaking out,
she overcomes her.
Yep, she overcomes it, and essentially she hijacks the not even the presentation, like the in company presentation after they present to Target at the end of this is like the final scene of the movie. She basically hijacks the presentation. Which
makes
is wild because she just disappeared for like a month from this company and like walks out on stage, is like trying to like give this presentation, and then all of a sudden like gives like this uplifting speech about like when we were little girls, like we felt good about like whatever we looked like, blah, blah, blah. Like we shouldn't lose that as we grow up, and like we should be okay with all this. And first off, the entire speech has nothing to do with the beauty product line. I have no idea like why that like that was the place to do it. It's basically just her like giving like a female empowerment speech, which is fine, but it doesn't tie in with what's happening in the movie. It was just like, I'm gonna give this weird speech that connects to nothing, and then like people are gonna like start crying in the crowd and clapping for me.
And because, she like, still like closes the deal and the execs
Yeah, it's like a huge thing. There's one of the bigger problems is she has two friends, A.D. Bryant, who's an SNL, SNL cast member, and then, Busy Phillips, she's in some stuff. But those are like her two best friends, and they're normal looking women or whatever, Amy Schumer is, they're not like not confident and have low self-esteem like Amy Schumer does. And then Amy Schumer, essentially, once she's confident, instead of just like they basically make it sound like once you're confident, you're a fucking dick to everyone else.
Yeah.
It was like, it took like 20 minutes for Amy Schumer to become just a total bitch to her friends for no reason.
So the movie confuses itself between confident and cocky.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, pretty much. And like that's like the only subplot line that like works, but it doesn't work because it's a completely twist on like what the main point of the movie is.
Yeah.
It's just, oh man.
So there are parts where she becomes confident where you see that this is a good thing and you should be confident, but then there are parts of being confident that are big negatives.
Exactly. Yeah. Basically you go one scene, you're like, okay, that's good for her. She should be confident. Like that's how someone like should act.
Yeah.
And like I understand, like, oh, maybe I should be more confident in these situations. But then the next scene is like,
then she's
and you're I guess I should be confident because I'm then I'll become an asshole. Like, I don't know what to do. So it's just like this backwards thinking constantly, like constantly flip-flopping. And then, like, they try and end it on this, like, uplifting note and, like, this, like, rousing speech, and it just, like, doesn't work because everything before it is so confused with what it wants to be and, like, what it wants to say. I, like, Amy Schumer's fine in it. If the script was better, it might be an okay movie. There was, like, maybe five times where I was like, huh, all right.
Okay, so, like, four or five times each?
Yeah, yeah. Outside of that, there is just, it's just so dumb and, like, just confused with what it wants to be. Like, it made me mad. Like, I was sitting there. It was me, two elderly women that sat two seats away from me, like, and then, like, three, like, single women spread throughout. And first
were they
off,
cracking they could, up or barely?
No one was laughing, really. Yeah. The two elderly women were, like, kind of saying stuff to each other throughout. I couldn't tell if they were enjoying it or not. But no one else, I didn't hear anyone else audibly laugh.
Same with my movie. There was one woman in the audience, no laughter. Yeah.
But yeah, I can't say I recommend it.
Rating.
D plus.
Okay, so D minus and D plus.
Yeah.
Can you summarize this film's message? And then I'll summarize mine. In one line, what is the film's message? What is this film trying to say?
Don't let the outside world dictate how you feel about yourself. But sometimes once you feel good about yourself, try and change other people, nicely.
And maybe be a dick when you are confident don't.
Yeah.
But really don't.
Yeah, there's they don't really address the being a dick part. So
with mine, at least yours had a message it was trying mm-hmm. to do and was confused about it and presented it in conflicting ways. I guess it's follow your dreams. Don't drop out of college, even though what you did was a selfless act and the right thing to do for your daughter.
Yeah.
At the end of the movie, no one learned anything, and no one overcame anything. It's just empty.
That's why I think that this movie might be better than yours, is because, like, at least this, like, tried, this had a message that it was trying to weave throughout the plot.
Right.
Yours
right.
was just a collection of, like, weird strange skits
events.
And scenes.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Okay. Is any movie going to save us from a week like this soon? What do we got next? Deadpool?
We have Deadpool 2 coming up. Yes. Next episode.
Yes. I can't do another week like this.
I know. And then after that is Solo. And then I think we have a break. So we'll probably do a rewatch or something. Or maybe we'll talk about TV that's been going on. We
West World.
Westworld. Yeah. And then we have Ocean's 8 and Hereditary.
Okay. The drought. The 1 week drought is over.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say, any female listeners, if any of you are female listeners, please let me know if you've seen this movie. Cause I'm actually interested in, like, if maybe it was like a difference in like subjectivity here. Like maybe it was just because like I'm a male, I didn't connect with it, but I can't understand if the message like felt coherent to anyone else. So,
well, I can tell you my wife and your sister, we thought about bringing her on for this and she saw Life the Party with me. And declined to come on because she didn't like it and was offended that I wanted to bring her on for this one. So, yeah, female listeners, like, if you liked this, let me know. I'd love to discuss it or just hear what you liked about it.
Yeah.
I can tell you the wife didn't like it.
All right. So that is it for this episode. Thank you for listening. Remember to like, comment, share on all the social media. Subscribe and review on whatever podcast listening format you have. We would love a 5-star review. That would be great.
Huge.
Unsubscribe and resubscribe anymore. Apparently that messes with the algorithm. It's not good. So just subscribe once.
I love your line though. You've been saying it every episode. So all right, so don't do it. Just subscribe and then review.
And if you would like to support us, go to glitchup.com/support. You can do some Amazon ordering through there. You literally just click the link and you go to Amazon and then we get a little kickback. No extra cost to you. You can go to Patreon, little donation, or you can get some merchandise that we have made through TeePublic.
Swag.
If you want to give us any feedback, glitchup.com/feedback, anonymous feedback, helps us run the site, helps us run the podcast better. We would love any sort of feedback, which you can also give through reviews. And always remember to check out glitchup.com for any new posts, rankings, opinions, articles, news, all that fun stuff. And check back in next week for Deadpool 2.
Woo!